Thank you. okay, I'm Juha, and I came to talk about Puova.org, which is a project of our company. And it's basically, the purpose of it is to manage Linux desktops in large scale in Finnish schools. So our target market is schools, but I'm me. I've been a free software hobbyist for about 2 decades now and working at OpenSUSE over 10 years for now. So what is our company? We employ about 15 people, and we provide IT solutions to schools. And while we do some other things, I think the primary thing that we do is that we maintain a quite large number of Linux desktop computers in primary and secondary schools. I'd say that we maintain over 5,000 active. What does active mean? What, something like hosts which are daily used by people, around 5,000, and maybe there are something like 10,000 less active used. And we also manage a lot more user accounts. We employ about 2 software developers usually. I'm the other one. We also have other kinds of people, product managers, help desk people, people with teaching backgrounds, and so on. So how we started out? At the time we started out, the marketplace was dominated by Microsoft Windows, pretty much, and we had a simple business plan. We are going to provide LTSP to schools. LTSP stands for Linux Terminal Server Project, and we provided Ubuntu, GNOME, Firefox, OpenOffice, and such. And I think it was a pretty good business plan. The idea was to provide services that are needed by schools in a cheap way. And it was good enough at that time, I think. But times have changed. Now it's Apple with iPads, and Google has Chromebooks and services. They're competing with Microsoft. And I feel that, we feel that thin clients are not quite up to modern standards as a technology. And LTSP feels a bit outdated, I think. Remote X doesn't really well for all use cases very well. So basically, we have had to say goodbye to LTSP. And the most important reason for that is that we mostly target laptops these days. Laptops are the most used kind of device in school environments, and LTSP doesn't really help with that. We also do provide some diskless workstations with shared home directories in server, and these resemble more like LTSP FAT clients. We started with Ubuntu, but then Canonical did a bit of a trick to us, I think, and to other people as well. They changed their IP policy in 2015, and I still think that you can read that on the Canonical web pages. You can redistribute Ubuntu, but only where there has been no modification to it. And we certainly did modifications to our Ubuntu, and we thought about this, that are we going to talk about Canonical about this, or what are we going to do? And we decided not to take any legal risks, and we decided to make a switch to Debian. So, okay, what is Puavo? It's basically the system that we develop to service our customers, and it consists of 2 components mostly. There's the Puavo Web, which is web software for user and device management, and then there's the OS operating system, which is basically a special build of a Debian Linux operating system. And it's been free software a long time, but we just haven't marketed it as much. It's basically not a community-developed system. We just use it for ourselves to service our customers. And I suppose it shows in some details that it's not a product that is easy to start using by outsiders. But it's there, it's available for everyone to actually, if you want to do similar things, you can try it out. And what our goals are, system? We try to provide a good system for education. We want it to be maintainable by a few admins, yet scalable to large environments. We want to support computers for a long time. I think 10 years is about in the ballpark that if a computer is over 10 years old, it's time to move on to more modern machines, I think. But we tried, and currently we require 64-bit support. 32-bit only computers are a bit outdated. It's time to move on. We try to be reasonably secure, but we're not a bank, so we're not perfect. We do not want to try to depend on technologies by the big 3 IT companies, American companies. Of course, the tech by those can be used with our system, but we would not like to have a hard dependency on these companies. And Yesterday, James Shubin gave a talk about configuration management engines and languages, and these are nice, and we use some of that as well, but we have not seen much of open source written with those languages, and we try to change that a bit. It would be nice to have a system administration code released as open source, which could be used to build systems actually used in the real world. We have Pova has two different major components. The web part is the other one. It's a Ruby on Rails application, but unusually we do not use a relational database. We use LDAP for it, and this is for some reasons. We use a separate database for each organization, but we can use one centralized installation for all organizations. We use MIT Kerberos, which can be used to provide a single sign-on, which is good, so that people don't have to log in to different, separately log in to each web application that they need to use. And for each organization can have its own school servers, and we can keep an organization's specific copy of the database as a read-only copy on the school servers. The web has a user management part. It has pretty much the standard stuff that you would expect to such a thing to have. It has hierarchies of entities, and some users can have special permissions to do things such as change student passwords if they want to. We can also provide LDAP access to external applications, such as Moodle, so that it can use directly the user database for authentication and such. And we can also use, to some extent, external user databases as a source for user information. We have some Microsoft AD integration. Mostly, I think that is it. We also have device management. We keep a database of devices in school, and the POV can be used to manage POV OS hosts to some extent and affect their functionality. And we also gather a bit of information how the devices are used. And then there's the POV OS part. We currently base on Debian Stretch. Buster is almost ready for production. This is something that I could say a few words on. We tend to be a bit conservative. We certainly prefer to follow the Debian stable releases. I think we are a bit too slow in following that, but still it's the best environment for schools, I think. Slow moving, reliable is good. We used to be based on LTSP, but we have diverged because of the laptop issue, and we no longer have LTSP as a dependency. If you actually want a school environment with LTSP, the Scholar Linux is an option. I think they have a stand here. And how we distribute the POV OS, we basically make a squash FS image, which is a compressed read-only disk image, and we update it automatically without any disruption for users. So in the ideal case, and it works pretty well, users never notice any updates in any way. The desktop is GNOME 3, but GNOME 3 in its default setting is a bit strange for people, I think. So we tweak it with extensions to behave more like Windows, which is something that they are being used to. And we provide basically the standard stuff that you would expect to have in a free software desktop environment. And we have some special features, I think. This is a bit crazy and strange. I think we use the same system image for different hosts that can have different modes of functioning. And we basically use the same system image for boot servers, laptops, and diskless workstations. So basically, how we do it, we build an image, and then we boot the image on the host. And before we give control to systemd, we use our special init tricks to set it up the environment so that it functions properly in that role. So boot servers configure themselves as NFS servers before systemd takes over. And then we can boot a diskless workstation using the same image through NBD. And then the diskless workstation is going to be configured as an NFS client. And then they work together. And it's a bit strange, but it works for us because we can then use the same installer and same update mechanism for each type of host. We also provide automatic power off when idle during non-school hours, guest loggings, other strange features. What about Google? Is it a friend or an enemy? In practice, schools need environments for collaboration. It's not simply enough to have hosts and computers and networks and applications. There needs to be some kind of environment that they collaborate in. And in practice, our system tends to get paired with Google Apps for Education, which is, on the other hand, it's a good thing, because if that didn't exist, I think we would be, schools would probably use something like Microsoft Office Online or something like that, and we would be in trouble. There used to be interoperability issues with Linux browsers. In fact, you had to fake the user agent for it to work. Things have gotten a bit better these days, but it may be partially because of the Google Apps for Education. And sometimes it feels as if we have become a thin client provider for proprietary Google App services. It's a bit problematic from the privacy point of view. I think sometimes it feels as if we are teaching children how to use spyware in schools, even though I realize that they promise that they don't actually exploit the data. So maybe there could be a privacy conscious school market out there. This is something that we might do in the future. Nextcloud looks interesting, Collabor Office, things like that. But at the moment, it feels that in Finland, there's no market for this. People are just content to use the Google services. But I have heard or understood that in some other countries, such as Germany, the politics and the legalities are such that it's not just so simple to just put student or children data to American companies. So this might be an interesting development that we should do, but it hasn't happened yet. What we also need is better documentation, and we should probably fix issues so that everything works more like out of the box. Currently, what we do appears to be something as if it's done by administrators to other administrators, which is true, and you should realize it if you try it out. This one image to rule them all strategy is also good, but it's not perfect. Maybe something like GUIX or NixOS is something that we might want to look into in the future. So if you want to deploy Linux desktops or laptops in schools, if you have just 10 hosts to maintain, don't bother with this. If you have 100, I don't know what you should do. If you have 1,000, this might be just what you need. There are also a few schools that use our technology in Switzerland and in Germany with some experience. Okay, this is not related. Forget everything that I said. This is not related to what I just talked. I just want to give a quick note in which other way Linux is present in Finnish schools. And this is not related to Puava. In the final year of upper secondary school, there are final examinations that have been digital for some years now. And the examination software for that is proprietary. I have heard that someday that might actually change. It would be a very good thing. But so far, it hasn't happened. But anyway, for the examination, the students must provide their own laptops. And their examination system, the client side, is delivered as in USB drives. And it's a Linux system based on Debian. And this creates a strong incentive for high school students to buy Linux-compatible hardware because they have to provide their own in the final examination. And if you go to Finland in some computer stores, you might see this sticker on the computers, which basically says that this computer is final examination compatible. It basically means that it's Linux-compatible, but it's marketed as such because that's what the students care about. So, okay, we have 1 minute for questions. If you have any, please shoot.
Thank you. I'd like to know, how do you perform the initial installation on the laptops of your image? Is it through network or...?
We have our own installer for it.
Sorry?
We have our own installer for it. We basically partition it ourselves. Okay. And basically it takes about 3 minutes on a fast network. If it takes more than that, somebody's going to complain. So it has to be very fast. We basically just create the file systems and then copy the necessary files in place.
And the laptops which are then installed with this Puava system, are they then dependent on having a connection to the server, or can they also be taken elsewhere and like used independently without a connection to the server?
Yeah, yes, they can. Absolutely, that's absolutely a requirement that laptops can be can function without a network connection and don't really need a connection to Power, centralized Power server for functioning.
What makes a school environment unique for device management? What makes it different from other situations where you manage devices on a large scale?
Well, it has to, there's no time. It's actually a good question, and it isn't necessarily so. I think the school environments, the requirements are pretty uniform, mostly. So if one, well, this is not something that I would push to developers, because developers would like to install this and that and do that and that and so on. So it's the requirements are pretty uniform. And for that reason, so that everything works without a hitch is the main requirement. Okay.
Okay, thank you for your talk.